Good evening.
Good
evening. As I come before you tonight, thanking you for the opportunity to have to bring a lesson from God's Word. I want to ask you beforehand to bear with me that I might not go over the time that's allotted. Tonight I'll be talking about the blessed potentate or the blasphemous pope. I want to invite your attention to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, 11 through 16. The apostle Paul writes to the young preacher and says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who hath immortality and the light which no man can want to use for himself, who only hath immortality in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom the honor and power everlasting. Amen." So my subject for tonight will be the blessed potentate or the blasphemous pope.
I'm sorry, excuse me. Get my Bible out of your way.
The term potentate means authority. The term is from a Greek word, and it's dunastis. That means a possessor of power and authority. It means one who occupies a high position. This same word is used of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8:27, where the Bible says, "As he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." This man was in complete control of all her treasures in the land. When Paul uses this word potentate in our text, though, he's talking about the supreme authority that only Jesus possesses. Look at Matthew 28:18, because we need to get a little understanding here of what Paul is talking about. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So, Jesus fits that description of a potentate. Now, by the Pope, I mean the Catholic's father, their big daddy. He's the universal head of the Catholic Church. He is the Roman pontiff or ruler, their infallible leader. I will deal with this a little later when I talk about the Apostle Peter, whom the Catholics believe to be the first Pope. For they claim that all other popes are Peter's successors. He said, "Now the Roman Catholic Church gradually came into existence. God had already predicted through the Apostle Paul that a departure from the faith was coming." We want to take a look at this most stirring prediction. The passage is found in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, as we get into this prediction or this prophecy that Paul gave to Timothy, he also gave the same prophecy and prediction to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse 28 and following. So we have the Roman Catholic Church who gradually evolved into the second largest denomination in the world behind Islam. We want to go over to Acts 20, 28 through 30 because we need to understand the will of our Lord. Luke wrote, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all of the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Now, as we put these passages into their context, and as we go on, we can see in the description of the Catholic Church, and we look back at these scriptures, we can see where it was going to be started. Now, by the time Constantine was emperor of the Roman Empire, gradual changes had already taken place. They had begun to place one bishop over the elders in different territories. Then they started placing the archbishop over the bishops. In 325 AD, Constantine called a council together at Nicaea. The famous Nicene Creed was established. It wasn't much longer after that, in 606 AD, that Pope Boniface III became the universal head of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, the Roman Catholic Church is in full bloom today. You can find all this information on the internet or in an encyclopedia. Now, let's get back to where the Catholic Church claims that Peter was the first pope. And we read that he really wasn't or could not have been the first pope of the Catholic Church. He said, "Then the Catholic Church teaches that Peter was the first pope. Now, there are some things that Pope John, Pope Leo, or Pope Paul will allow that the Apostle Peter would not allow. I've seen people bow down on the ground and worship these popes, and they don't tell these people to get up. They accept their homage or worship. But look at Acts 10, 25 and 26. When Peter went down to the house of a Gentile by the name of Cornelius, the Bible says, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. So you see, the popes don't tell people to get up when they're in their presence and they're bowing down to them. Peter told some elders that they had better not be lords over God's heritage because Jesus, the one chief, shall appear. And that's in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. Peter could not have been the first pope because Peter was a married man. The popes claimed celibacy. Paul predicted that they would forbid marriage, that they would forbid marriage. We already read in 1 Timothy 4 and 3, and we'll listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 and 5 as he talked about marriage and Peter, who is Cephas. Have we not the power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Peter was a married man, as we can see, so that would not qualify him to be a pope. Notice Matthew 8 and 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever. So Peter had a wife. Peter had a mother-in-law, a father-in-law. You don't see these things when it comes to the popes, because in their doctrine, they teach that the priest cannot marry. The priests have to give their whole life over to the Father, because they can't have somebody else to worry about. And these are some of the doctrines of devils that we see that pervades in that church. Now you may wonder why I'm not talking about the doctrines of the church. I believe if the foundation is wrong, the whole building is wrong. If the foundation can't stand, then the whole building is in trouble. If the foundation of a church is not true, then the whole church is false. So as you see, they call the Pope Father, Rabbi, Your Holiness, Holy Father, the Pontiff, and even Reverend. But I'm just going to stick with the Bible tonight. You can't help people in the Catholic Church until you, first of all, help them to see that the Pope is a false representative of Christ. In Matthew 23:6-10, Jesus talked about the self-righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. You might as well come and read with me here in Matthew 23:6-10. And it reads, Jesus said, "They loved the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and greeting in the market, and to be called men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." Now they call their priest Father. They call the Pope Holy Father. And it's plain to see what Jesus says about calling somebody else your Father, because we have one Father who's in heaven, and one Rabbi, which is Jesus Christ. So as we go on along in this, we're going to talk about a couple of false doctrines of the Catholic Church. I want to talk about the Catholic's false doctrine on purgatory. And show in Luke 19:16-31 and Hebrews 9:27 that there is no place for a person to go and purge oneself after death. The story of the rich man Lazarus is a testimony against those who believe that you can change your spiritual state after death. Jesus said in Luke 16, verse 26, "And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." And the Hebrew writer said, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." So, the purgatory myth that they tell people, and in some occasions back in the 1600s maybe, where they were selling decrees to give to people that they could buy their way out of purgatory. This is a strong doctrine that you can serve a little time in purgatory and then go to heaven. This is one of their main doctrines, is that you can do that and still go to heaven. I can also talk about the Catholics' false doctrine on baptizing babies. In Mark 16:16, "And show that a person must be old enough to hear, believe, and be baptized, Jesus said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. How did she, hear what Isaiah said in Isaiah 28:9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Now we can see God's truth on this matter of babies being baptized because a baby doesn't know what he's being baptized for. So how can you baptize a baby and wash away sins that they don't have or have not committed? Now we could go on and on, but as we know, Christ is the head of the Church of Christ. The Pope cannot occupy the seat of Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Again in Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Now, if the Pope is the head of a church, surely it's not the church of the Bible, if you can see that as I see it. Now, I'll ask the question in a minute, but I want to also read this where it says, you can have the blasphemous Pope, but give me the blessed potentate, Christ Jesus. And the question is, which will it be for you? Would it be the blessed potentate or the blasphemous Pope? Jesus is the way maker. He made a way for me. When I was sick, he made me whole. When I was down, he picked me up. You need to come to Jesus tonight. And in Acts 15:7 said, hear and believe the gospel. Acts 17:30 said, repent of your sins. Acts 8:37 says, confess Christ to be the Son of God. And finally in Acts 2:38, it says, you must be baptized. And let us not forget what Paul said to Timothy in our opening text, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Again, I'll take this opportunity for those visitors or those among us who have not accepted the gospel of Christ, who does not have the, who is not walking with him and the Father tonight, that if you can, you would come down forward here and be baptized. We have the elders already, the water is ready. The song leader is ready, and all you have to do is come forth in the first pews here. For any in our number who need the prayers of the church or anything that we can do for you, we ask that you also come down front and heed the Savior's invitation. Won't you come and stand and sing?